and welcome back to Moments Peace. Today, we're going to have a mom-to-mom or a parent-to-parent talk. We're going to talk about how it is to make that transition from being a homeschool mom with older kids who have graduated college, and still having teens at home and all the different relation dynamics. This tends to be a big topic that many people talk about, and there's a lot of sorrow and joy in the midst of that season, but it's very demanding. And so I have a seasoned homeschool mama in the thick of it all who is going to talk to us today, and she's my good friend and a mentor to me, Miss Janet. So thank you for being with us today again.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a heart-to-heart, more emotional one.
Oh, you didn't give me the tissues.
I know. I mean, at least I feel that way, yeah. You know, because you've homeschooled 18 years, right?
Yeah.
And I've got 15, mm-hmm. and we've seen our kids grow, mm-hmm. and you've launched some out even mm-hmm. across miles and miles away, yes. and now you have two grandbabies. And their older two are graduated college. Mm-hmm. One's still in college.
Yep.
So another one is also still in college. Mm-hmm. And then you have two at home. One's right. a senior, and then one is a freshman. Mm-hmm. And so with the senior year alone, that is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because of all the extra. Yeah. And then you have these grandbabies. And how do you balance it all? Like, how do you feel enough for everyone?
Well, it's interesting just how the needs change through the years. And they don't need me as much as often or in the same way, but sometimes the needs feel heavier. That's for sure. So I guess I would start with when I launched my twins off to college, that was really hard on our family. We were homeschooling five children at home. Our house was full all the time. And to lose two of them at once was hard.
Yeah.
And so I think losing to launch any of them is difficult because you're losing them around the house all the time. But we lost two at the same time. Both of them very formidable people. So it was a big change in our family, and there was some grieving by all of us. All of us grieved. But I will say the nice thing is when they launch, it's right when school's starting back up and all the busyness starts up again. So every time we anticipate the next one leaving, we always anticipate it's going to be worse than it actually turns out to be. Because once school starts and you're busy and you're doing the fun things and you're going to classes and you're with your friends, it's not nearly as hard as you thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So I definitely did some crying after the twins left. Once in a while, I actually still get a little tearful, not nearly as much, but even still, they're 24. They've been gone and married and for a while. But, you know, it was time. At the same time, when they did leave, it was time for them to go. And we all knew it. And I guess I'm grateful for that because I knew when the time came, it was the right thing for them to go. Especially, and I also have four sons. My daughter leaving was harder, I feel like, because, mm-hmm. you know, the sons, they go, they launch. The daughter is close to your heart. They all are, but she's, you know, there's this bond. Thankfully, she only moved less than 3 hours away, and so I can see her pretty often. And the grandbabies are only 3 hours away, so I can see them. Not as often as I'd like, but I will say that the needs of adult children change. I kind of foolishly thought that once they launched, I was done. Okay, fly, little birdies. Be on your own, and I'm going to now finish up with these ones, and I have less to do, right? I have less to worry about. Not true. The worries are just different, and they still call home and they still need help with things, especially in the college years, you know, just a lot of change. They're going through a lot of change. They have a lot of questions about adulting that we realize, oh, we never taught you how to do that. And mm-hmm. so thankfully they called home and asked, how do I submit my tax form? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so we helped them through those kinds of things. But it wasn't nearly the amount of time. You know, it wasn't day in and day out. It was just occasionally when they needed us. And I think that that's healthy. My daughter and I talk more often than my older son, who's out of the house, does, but that's okay because he's married and he's, you know, you leave your father and your mother and you cleave to your wife. But I am thrilled when he calls me. And when he does call me, we talk for an hour or longer. And he fills me and he just called me last night and out of the blue at 10 o'clock, which at first I was like, who's calling me at 10 o'clock? And then when I saw it was him, I'm like, oh, it's him. It's okay. You can call me at 2 in the morning if you want.
Right.
He called me at 10 o'clock and he's like, I have so much to tell you.
Aww.
And I love that because I hadn't talked to him in over 3 weeks and I was missing him. And it's hard, you know, I have to say to myself, okay, I'm missing him, but he's a man.
Right.
I don't want to be calling him every week just because I miss him, you know, right. Wait for him to call me. But I do call him. I mean, I also feel free to call him too. And if he can talk to me, he picks up the phone. And if he can't talk that, he just doesn't pick up the phone. And I just know, okay, he's not available. And so I give him a lot of space, obviously, to be his own man. But I'm thankful that he does call me occasionally to fill me in. Usually when he's got big news, he'll call and, you know, he's getting his PhD and a lot's going on in his life. So thankfully he's got a lot going on to call me about. So yeah, there's definitely grief and loss, but there's joy as well. I joked with a mom last week. I said, you know, we work ourselves out of a job.
Yes.
It's like we do such a good job, we work ourselves out of it.
Yes.
And the reward we get for doing such a great job is to lose our kids, you know. It's like, wow, this was not what I was expecting or wanting, but it is also the right thing. It's a good thing.
Right. I had one mom tell me, everybody loves my daughter. Everybody loves my daughter. And then her husband took her away, And, you know, now they get to enjoy all the fruit of my labor.
That's right.
I was like, yeah, but it should come back around. Right. She was like, oh, it does. They still need me for grandma stuff. And
they will always need you. I had another friend who felt like she was really losing her daughter. And I had to assure her, I said, don't worry. She is going to call you. Like she's going to call you probably even more than you anticipate she's going to call you.
Right.
And I really think that that's true, especially for the daughters. They still need their moms. I still call my mom.
Right.
You know, and I'm over 50. So it's like, you know.
I think it's neat, you know, kind of jumping a little bit ahead, is on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like they're doing all this fun stuff and you went through the whole wedding, you did the whole thing and you think you're not going to hear from them. And then you had the text of like this cool picture of what they're doing.
Yes.
Like that's happened to a couple of families that I know. And I'm like, okay, so that's really neat. Cause you wouldn't think that you would hear from them, especially in that time frame.
That's
you know,
but they're on their honeymoon. Right. Nobody's, you're not, you know, don't call, anything. And then suddenly they text you and you're like, oh,
right.
It makes you feel really special actually. Like, oh my goodness, you texted me on our honeymoon.
I feel like those are portraits of grace of like, okay, that was the hard work and the, you know, that and the seeds that I sowed there. All right, this is like a little bit of fruit that I'm seeing from it. Like they love me.
That's
like,
right.
You know, it's like, it may
really
not be the same, but it's like, they do love me.
They do
you know?
Love me. Yes,
that's
they
a
do.
Little bit in there.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that we get is, how did you prepare for this transition with supporting adult children, but then still dealing with the demands? So I guess an example would be like you have Luke, he's in his senior year. He has so much that has to happen, college, testing, you know, just even fun, the last youthful side of him before things get real serious. And then you're like, my daughter's having a baby. I got to be on standby.
Right.
So how do you prioritize balance? I know at one point you were at one state, your husband was another, your anniversary baby, everything. Mm-hmm. So how did... How do
you have a good
deal
memory.
With that?
I've forgotten about that.
How do you deal with all those demands?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with preparing your younger kids to be independent. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hopefully by the time they're teenagers and in high school, they're doing a lot of things independently. A lot of their school is independent at that point. Driving. I would say it's important to have your younger teens get their license when they're old enough. We waited our older, we were so nervous about the license. So my older kids, I think Noah didn't get his till he was 18, if I remember correctly. And, but my younger ones, I'm like, you got to get your license because if I have to be gone, you know, to Virginia to help with the grandbaby, you need to be able to drive yourself to Bible study or whatever. And so we're working on that with the youngest one, even though I never feel like they're old enough.
Yes.
You're not old enough to have your license. That's scary. You know, saying, okay, we got to do this again. We just got to do it. So teaching them to be independent and responsible is big because when we are away, we trust that they can handle themselves. And then of course we have a great community who, if we say, hey, can you come and pick Ethan up for something? he doesn't have a ride to the party or whatever. So I don't know. It just works. I don't know that there's any real method to it. It just kind of works. And sometimes I have to tell my older kids, no, I'm really sorry. My priority is at home with my younger kids and I just can't come, you know?
And that has to be hard.
Yeah. It is very hard. I can say I can come the next week.
And do they take that pretty well?
They do. Very well. And so, you know, and those older kids need to learn. You're on your own now and mom's not just there at your beck and call, you know. I'll come if I can and I would love to help you, but I can't. I still have these younger kids that are really my priority right now. And so that's kind of my kids understand that. And I think we made that pretty clear. And I think people should make that clear so that you don't have those kinds of conflicts that could come up.
That's a good balance and way to look at it. So this way there's not like bitterness growing in one or the like, yo, you left the house and you're still the, because you know, when you have older kids, it's like the youngest and the oldest get like all the attention usually because you're like the first and the last with all the things. In one part, I guess it has to be good that the older kids understand like, oh yeah, mom is still like, she still has responsibilities and duties as wife and mom and to these younger kids. But then the younger kids also in a way sacrificially like, oh, well, this is a big life event. Like they're planning a wedding or, the baby's coming. And so there's lots of grace for moving parts.
My husband says frequently he used to say to my older kids, you had your time. You had your time. You know, now it's his turn, you know?
Right. Yes. That is a season a couple of our friends are in that I find myself and somebody else saying like, right now it's, we need to put them kind of first now. Because it's so hard.
I mean, the younger ones, they got dragged all over the place for the older ones. And now it's time for them to, you know, them to be the focus.
Yes. So. And it's a different transition too, because then you realize that they have different like you kind of always knew they had different personalities, but it's so much more quiet that it's almost like they seem louder and their needs seem louder and you can, I don't know, kind of get to their heart a little bit more because sometimes they kind of are just always going with the flow. They don't speak up or they're just kind of like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm definitely like I've gotten to know my Luke, who's my senior, so much better the last few years since, you know, other people have been out of the house. It's like, we're closer now than we were because before he was, you know, we were just dragging him along and now it's like, you know, we have of course part of that's age, you know, as they get older in high school, they're constantly thinking and they're sharing and things like that.
So. Yeah. So I definitely think it's age. Yeah. And then I definitely like, there is a part of where it's not like we're dragging them, they didn't want to go or they didn't enjoy it. But it's just they're so used to riding on the coattails of like what their older ones are doing, and that it's kind of easy to.
Yeah,
they just it's like a natural going with the flow. Right. Where now they're kind of like, I get to make a decision, or I get to
it's about you now.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like they have more the birthday theme all the time. You know, like now, so it's all about you day. You know, so like, how does sibling relationships differ? And how do the siblings try to stay connected with all the new family dynamics?
Oh, that's tough. We do holidays, with our older grown and flown kids. We alternate holidays with the other in-law family, if that makes sense. So we see them we see Abby a lot because she comes to our house with the grandkids or we go there. But my son, who's in Indianapolis now, he was in St. Louis. So he's been kind of far from us. We have not seen him as much. And my younger kids complain, when are we going to see Noah? When are we going to see him? We miss him. And so we've made the effort twice to go see him. We went out to St. Louis twice to visit him. We're going to go to Indianapolis, Lord willing, in March. But then he comes to us, he and his wife come to us at least once a year for a holiday. But actually, he's come in the summers too. So it just depends on the circumstance of the kid. It's just once they're gone, it's hard. If they're off busy doing their thing far away, it just gets harder. But the younger ones, I do have to sometimes say, well, let's pick up the phone and call them.
Right.
You know, you're missing him. Let's pick up the phone and call him. And hopefully he's available and we'll talk. And they always are willing to talk to their younger siblings, which is great.
So is it easier to have sibling and sibling talk and catch up than it is like you talking with them? Because that's almost more like adult conversations and mm-hmm. things and catching up. Where them, it's more like they just need their buckets filled up a little yeah. bit because they miss them.
Well, a lot of times he'll call, like Noah will call me. And the kids will hear us on the phone in the other room talking, and they'll come in and be, hi, Noah. And then he'll talk to them for just a few minutes, you know, and then get back to talking to me because he wants to tell me all the adult things, you know.
Right. And what about, because they were twins, and, yeah. and in your family it's a little unique, but they're twins together all their lives. Everybody yeah. talks about like the twin thing.
Right.
But now they're separated yeah. and at different paces. You know, he's still, you know, getting his PhD. Mm-hmm. And then she is like mom.
She's
life.
A mom, yeah.
So how do they stay connected?
Well, they're not as connected as they used to be. And I've asked them, you know, do you guys talk? Well, once in a while, you know, but they're content with just seeing each other when they see each other. And I do know Abby has said to me a couple times, I wish I, you know, saw Noah more often. So, and I'm sure he feels the same way. He just hasn't expressed that, but guys are not very expressive about those kinds of things. So yeah, they are not as connected as they were. And it's, I mean, Noah's off getting his master's and his PhD. So he's all over the country. He was even in England for a while. And right. so it's just harder, you know, it's kind of like us when we left home, you know, you kind of yes. just lose touch with a little bit, at least with your family. So,
and then you just make that at least once a year.
We make the effort for once a year for everyone to come together, to be together.
Even yeah. if it's the alternating
yeah.
holiday and stuff. Yeah. So 1 year, basically you're saying you'll have everybody like
Thanksgiving and then the next year for Christmas. That's what we try to do. Yeah. yeah.
That's nice. Now, did yeah. you guys talk about that prior to the marriage?
We did. Oh, good. We did. I kind of let them know that was sort of a hope that I had. You know, not an expectation, but a hope. And thankfully they were on the same page. You know, they were like, yeah, that sounds great. And so, and the other family was on the same page too. So,
oh, that's really helpful.
Yeah. We're very blessed with the spouses that our children chose, that the Lord chose for them, because their families are great and they're on the same page with us. And so that's a blessing. It would be hard, I think, if the family wasn't on board with right. that.
Yeah. So. But that's nice because you can alternate kind of different yeah. holidays and not feel like you're missing out,
right.
especially when grandkids now involved.
Exactly.
So
yep.
that's awesome. So, all right. So the emotional side,
yes.
how do we encourage or are there for the younger ones who feel like they're being left behind and they get sad when they yeah. have to say that goodbye?
Yeah.
With, you know, they know it's coming. I know I have one who's like already sad and I'm mm-hmm. like, we haven't even gotten near Christmas. We're not in second semester. Like
I have the same thing going on at my house. So my youngest has already shed tears at the thought of his older brother going to college next year. Mm-hmm. And that started last year. Mm. He started saying, is Luke going to college in like a year or when is he going? And I'm like, oh, that's forever from now. Don't think about that. But he's a thinker. He's a thinker. And so he was really feeling that. And he still does. And so just last week, he came asking again, when is that happening? The only thing I was able to tell him is what I said earlier, which is that, you know, we build up these things as if they're going to be terrible, awful. And it's never as hard as you think it's going to be. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be. Yes, it's going to be sad. And we're going to shed some tears when, you know, if and when he goes to college. But we're going to see him. He's not going to be that far away. You're still going to have a great life, you know, and it's never as bad as what you think it is. And I had to remind him, remember when Abby and Noah went to school? And he's like, yeah. That wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be. Remember when Ben went to school? That wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be. And that helped him a lot just to help remind him it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. Mm-hmm.
It's like you just yeah. got to get to that hump and
right.
then now it becomes a new
yeah.
normal.
We build our fear. We build this. Our anxiety comes from fear. So our anxiety builds when we're just afraid it's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. And we need to not be afraid.
Right.
We're not supposed to be afraid in Christ. And that should help our anxieties to diminish.
Right.
and the sadness will still be there, but it's not anything to be thinking about, you know, a year ahead of time and worrying about. It'll be okay.
Do you feel like for him it's harder because you do have, you're unique having, like, your youngest is a teenager, yeah, and he, you know, he'll be a sophomore, mm-hmm, when this all is said and done, and right, his older brother, mm-hmm, his last older brother in the, mm-hmm, house is gone. So do you think for him it feels weird because now he's like, I'm an only?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is he feels like he's going to be all alone. And so we are going to have to, I just said this to my husband a little bit ago, we're going to have to come up with ways to make sure that he's not lonely.
Yeah.
Because he's used to being surrounded by siblings.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he is going to be alone in the house with just us, and that's going to be weird. Mm-hmm. So we have to work through that. And how are we going to, I actually suggested maybe we should get an exchange student. And everyone nixed that idea. No. Okay. Why not? But yes. Yeah. And he's an extrovert. So he, we're just going to have to really pray and think through that and hope, you know, I know the Lord will provide. He will. We just have to do it.
Yes. Cause that's a hard transition. Yeah. And then how does it feel for you guys as parents having such a full house to coming down to just one student to plan for, buy school supplies for, like, this is it, you,
yeah,
know?
Yes.
How does that feel? And to have,
oh, my husband is thrilled. Trevor's like, this is great.
Only, he's like, we're at the finish
only
line.
Only 3 more years. And I'll have peace and quiet. Of course, for me, it's, I try not to think about it too much, but I also, I'll tell you what I do think about is what I'm going to do after Ethan's out of the house, yeah, because it's only 3 years from now. Yeah. And so I need to start thinking, what does the Lord have for me next? Because right now I'm, you know, I'm doing this speech and debate club, which I'm pouring a lot of time into really for the benefit of my own kids. And once they're gone, I won't be doing that anymore. I mean, unless the Lord tells me to keep going, but I don't know that he would, probably pass that on to somebody else. What am I going to do? You know, yeah. I can tell you my inclination will be to curl up in the fetal position in my bed and stay there and be depressed, right? Like, what's my purpose in life? I don't have a purpose in life. And I know a lot of people who've gone through that. And so I want to try to be a good steward of my time now, and plan ahead for what it is, you know, Lord, that you have next for me, so that when he's out of the house, I'm not wrapped up in my own loss.
Right.
Because it's a real grief. You know, I say to my husband and others, I've said, time is a thief. Mm-hmm. It's a thief. It takes from us. And even though it's good, all these transitions are good, it's just so hard to say goodbye.
It is. Yeah. Even for your daughter, when she comes to visit with the grandbabies and, mm-hmm, stuff, like, does it still sting a bit to, like, or is that easier because she's closer and you get to see her more often?
I don't think it stings anymore. And when she would come home from college and then go back to school, it was still pretty fresh. That was hard. Okay. I feel like the more time that goes by, the easier it gets, because she's now been married 3 years, 2 kids. And so it's been a while since she's been at home. So now it doesn't bother me as much, but definitely when she would come home from college for the Christmas, mm, or break and then go back, it was like losing her all over again. And it, yes, was weird, you know, so that was harder.
And I think it is harder for girls because it's like the men are supposed to be the protectors and the, mm-hmm, providers. And you, yeah, know that you're just launching them out, right, to go do that and be on the front lines, where your daughter's like, well, you're the one that's supposed to be protected. So, right, I hope that, you, yeah, know, yeah, and, that's right, and then in some ways, I think when you have healthy relationships with your adult children, yeah, and that start really in the middle school and high school years, yeah, little by little, mm-hmm, they almost become like your close friend. Like, mm-hmm, you can kind of tell them anything, you, yeah, know, and they are telling you new stuff. Yeah. And so, I mean, cause I'm sure, like, with your daughter, you've talked, like, marriage stuff, uh-huh, you know, and it's like, maybe she'll talk to you about stuff that she wouldn't really talk to a friend about, right, or something, you know, or maybe just really close friends.
Yeah.
And so it's hard when, yeah, you have to deal with that transition. And, mm-hmm, I think that we don't talk about it enough because, yeah, it is different for homeschool moms, I think, in the sense, we were there for everything.
Right.
The shoelace being tied, right, the potty training, the, yeah, reading, the math, the, yeah, driving,
yeah,
which is, yes, like terrifying, you know,
the gray hairs right here.
Yes.
From all my drivers.
Exactly. You know, and so we get all these precious moments, but it's like you're saying, it's like, we know they're in God's hands and we are too, but it just feels like it's painful. Mm-hmm. Like each season is like a new birth, but also a death to that new birth that comes. So
yeah,
it's really hard. So by October, does it feel like a new normal?
It does, actually. It does.
It kind of
for settles. Sure. Everything settles by October. Even by September, I feel like, because we keep pretty busy.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a good advice or not to keep busy. I don't know, distract yourself. But it's for the kids' sake, I say keep busy so that they're not sitting at home sad, you know, that so-and-so left. Because I remember for my middle child too, he was very sad when the twins left, especially his brother, because they shared a room. Mm-hmm. And that was just weird for him to go to bed at night in his room by himself.
Looking back now, would you redo anything to better launch them out, or relationally, something that you learned from the older ones that you're now implementing? Like, you kind of already talked some about, all right, well, remember, it wasn't that bad. It gets a little easier.
Yeah. Giving them confidence, I think. All of my kids, well, except for maybe one, have all felt like, am I going to be able to do college? They almost lacked confidence that they could do it. Like for my middle child, he said to me one day as a junior, he said, I'm not sure I can do college level work. This was my straight A student. He was very capable. And I said, why would you think that? He had in his mind that he couldn't do college level work. So I said, well, then we're doing a dual enrollment class. We don't generally do dual enrollment. We just never have. It's not really a good reason. Just it's too much effort. I don't know. Like, we're in high school. We're going to stay in high school. Mm-hmm. I had him take a dual enrollment class just so he could see, you're perfectly capable of doing college level work. And he got an A in the class and loved it. And so continually keeping them, reminding them that they're going to do great. You're going to do great. Because I think we forget, even our confident kids, the ones who seem confident, they all have insecurities, all of them. And so I have been more intentional with my younger kids to say, you're going to do great. You can do this. You're going to do great. And so starting that early so that they're not inside feeling like, I can't do this, but I'm just not going to tell anybody. Because I think, thankfully, my middle child did tell me that he felt that way. But if he had not told me that, I would have never known that he was feeling all this insecurity. And so I learned that my next child down absolutely has that insecurity, but only because I started to say things like, you can do it. You're going to do great. And he would say, really?
Aww.
Am I really going to do okay? And I would say, yes, you are. And so that would be one thing, I think. And
just that kind of cheerleading and encouragement.
Cheerleading,
like, you're going to do this. You can do it.
Cheerleading is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
And, okay. So what would you tell a mother that's afraid of losing the closeness with her children after homeschool graduation?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
don't worry. Don't be afraid. We're coming back to this mantra, you know, don't be afraid. You'll be surprised at how often they call home and how much they still need you. And don't be afraid to call them. You know, if you haven't heard from them in a week or two, it's okay to pick up the phone and call. You're not being intrusive, especially with your daughters. You're not being intrusive by picking up the phone and calling if you haven't heard from them for a little while. And they'll probably welcome your call. You remember what it was like. I would just get busy.
Yeah.
And then I would realize, oh, I have my mom. She called me, mom, let me pour my heart out and tell you all the things. And so don't be afraid to call them. But yeah, I would say don't worry about that at all. The kids, they still need you in college and
so
beyond.
The way that you would say to be intentionally involved in your adult children's lives would be just call them. Kind of still being like their cheerleader too.
Yeah, don't be afraid to call. You know, I said this to a friend recently, don't be afraid to call. I mean, she's getting married, but that doesn't mean she's gone forever, you know, call her, pick up the phone and call her. And she needed to hear that because I think she was feeling like she's not mine anymore. I can't even talk to her. Like, no, you can call your child, you know? And so I'm a little more careful with my son because, you know, he's married with a wife and I don't want to encroach upon her, you know, even though she's great and I love her, I just want to be careful. I'm not calling him every day, you know, it's like, you know, I try to call him every couple of weeks if I haven't heard from him first. And I feel comfortable doing that and haven't had any complaints so far. So,
right. And that's something I love in seeing your family dynamics and stuff. It's for the holidays, you guys have like this tradition where you all like make pies, like each spouse and like, you know, sibling or something will pair up and like do a pie. And just even that, like extending that to your kid's spouse or your new in-laws, you know, your son-in-law.
Well, I have to confess, that's a new tradition.
Okay.
So I had a really good friend who had children ahead of me who had already launched, who said, this is a great way to bring in the spouses and make the holiday fun and make them want to keep coming, you know. And she said, we do this pie contest. And I said, I am totally stealing that idea. And so we started that actually once they were out of the house. It was not something we did when they were at home. And we have had such a good time. So I would say tradition, if you can implement any kind of traditions and include the spouses in that, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because an extension of this is what I would think. I mean, I'm not in that season yet, but the wanting to maintain that closeness, I think it's also easier when you do develop your own relationship with your future in-law children, like, which I know you have pretty good relationships with your in-law children. It makes everything different, right? Like when you have a relationship with Chase or Alexandra, like it's so much easier to just be, you know, they're you're a part of our family too. Like, come fold
in. I just try to make them feel welcome, and because they are welcome and I love them. I'm not as close with them as I am with my own children, but I hope that gradually as I get to, you know, and I don't see Noah's wife very often because they live so far away.
Right.
But when we are together, you know, I try to do things that are meaningful for her. And then when I see Chase and Abby, I try to, you know, gauge from her, like, what does Chase need from me? Anything? Usually nothing, because he's a guy, right? He just needs me to stay out of his, I don't know, stay out of his way.
Right. Or make a good meal or something.
Yeah, make a good meal. But he's great.
But I love that idea too, of just doing something active and homey and fun and cozy like that. Like, but do you guys eat all the pie? Like, do you actually go through all that pie?
We eat all the pie. It takes a few days, but we eat it all.
Because that's like a lot of different pies. Yeah, but yeah, that's awesome. But I think that's a sweet tradition too. Like, even if it's just something small like that, like the calling or sending a text or, you know, hey, I'm praying for you. I know one mom who we use, is it Marco Polo? Where you leave. Yeah, it's like you talking, like you're having a conversation, but then you send it to them and they can hear it whenever they want. And then they turn it back to you and they kind of catch you up and, you know, it goes back and forth that way. And I'm like, that's actually a really cool way too, to be kind of, I'm just thinking of you today, you know, or praying.
Well, I got Instagram because my daughter had Instagram. It's the only reason I have it. And now my daughter-in-law uses Instagram.
Oh, nice.
And so I interact with them on that, on there too. If they post something, you know, I'll just comment on there. And so there's a little connection with that too.
So it's just like little small things that kind of can add up.
Yeah.
And, so, but I love the idea of like not fearing, because I can see why that would be a valid question. Like all the, like it's so easy to lose everything and, you know, you would feel like you're now neglecting it and then you don't want to suffocate. And then it's like, how do you vacillate between both sides of the spectrum?
We suffocate ourselves with fear. I'm learning that the older I get and myself included, it's like the things we are so anxious all the time. And we just need to deep breath, trust the Lord, do the next right thing. Mm-hmm. Just do the next right thing, you know? And if you do something and somebody doesn't like it, you just have to back off and say, okay, I'm going to try it a different way next time.
Right. Because that's a hard thing to navigate with adult children is like, and I would even say sometimes your senior is a little easier with them because they're still like under your roof, you know? But once that dynamic changes, it's like, what do you say, when to say it, how to say it, you know? Don't say it at all, you know? Right. And it's like, I feel you're constantly like going back to God. It's like, I need discernment. Like, do I say something? Because this is just how I would handle it, you know? And then it's like, but if
that's
I do.
That's the hardest thing, because we homeschool mamas, we're control freaks, right? It's the whole reason we homeschool. Okay. We said, oh, we're not going to let the government do it. We're going to take control of this. We're going to take the reins here. So we tend to be controlling anyway. And it's a difficult thing to know. When do I speak into my older child's life or let them navigate? And I have just said, always err on the side of keeping your mouth shut. I have always erred on the side of that. Unless it's a life or death situation, I try not to say a whole lot. If it comes up normally in conversation, I'm not afraid to talk about it, but I'm not going to just, you know, proffer my advice or, you know, passive right. aggressively send articles, you know, right, whatever. Right, right. I do send articles sometimes, but only, you know, if yes. I think they're interested, but not in a passive aggressive way, but right. Just to say, hey, you guys should listen to this. It's really cool. But it's more, that's more about news and things. But yeah, I would say always err on the side of, because a quick way to damage a relationship is to give unsolicited advice or criticize the decision that they've made as an adult.
And do you feel that way too, even in extension, as the grandma rule? Like
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I encourage Abby to always defer to her husband's point of view. We have very strong opinions about things, about child rearing. And thankfully, my daughter tends to align a lot with what I think. And sometimes she has to kind of work on him, you know, a little bit. But, you know, it's the right thing to do for her to defer to her husband, not to defer to me.
Right.
And so I always say to her, here's what I would do, mm-hmm. you know, but you need to do what he thinks is the right thing to do. And so in that way, I'm kind of not parenting her still, but mentoring her still mm-hmm. as a newly married bride. And I think it would be very harmful if I said to her, well, you just need to tell him to do blah, 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 right, you know, because this right. is what we should do. Although sometimes that's hard for me not to say, you know, right, right. like, oh, you got to do it this way. But I'm working on it. We're all a work in progress. Right. So.
That's an interesting way to put it. Like the whole idea of you're still like a Titus 2 woman. Yeah. Like, you know, like she has, yeah. she's your daughter. She's your sister in Christ. But, and she, you know, she's the mother of your grandchild. Yeah. But the idea of like, okay, well, this is how I would do it. But I'm going to defer you back to like, what does God's right. word say? And right. you're, you know, still showing that. Mm-hmm. Submission to like, well, it's the Lord and your husband yeah. and y'all figure it out. But right. this is just what I'm saying. It seems a lot better than the, yeah. well, let me tell you. Yeah.
yeah. And then it's really up to her if she's going to bring that to her husband and really kind of,
yeah,
you know, fight that battle or not, or just let it go.
Right.
So.
And so in the last transition, I just want to talk about a bit, which you hit on. So in 3 years, you will be done. Yes. And, you know, have you thought about like hobbies or just you're still praying about it? Have you talked to people further along than where you are to not feel, because it's such a big loss. Because at yeah. that point, we're talking like making sure we don't have identity issues because, yeah. you know, yes, our kids are still going to need us, but then we'll have so much more. Right. freedom. Right. Like I know one mom who's like, well, now I'm reading all the books. Like I'm actually going to read books that I want to.
Exactly. Oh, the books she wants to read.
Yes. Yeah, so she was like, you know, all these books that were recommended and I wanted to read and now yeah. I'm going to actually have the time to read it. Another one is like, oh, well, our friend Kathy, she's like, well, I manage my son's band uh-huh. and so I'm still working, you know, at it and everything. But now she's like, you know, it's dinner for two versus yes. you know, it really changes everything,
yeah.
you know? So I was just wondering how you feel about that.
Yeah. It's really funny because it's just in the past several months that I've started thinking, I need to start thinking what I'm going to do after I'm done homeschooling. Cause I don't want to just curl up in a ball, you know?
Right.
So I'm kind of I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. I'm a leader. So I could see myself doing something along that. I just need to pray through what the Lord has for me next. I spend most of my time now homeschooling my kids and leading this club that I'm doing for high schoolers. I don't know what's going to come after that. But I think I might have told you about the career assessment lady who she works with adults too. I thought about going to talk to somebody about, you know, she kind of assesses your interests and skills and kind of gives you a direction. And she worked with a lot of adults who are like us, you know, who we've done this mom thing forever. Now we don't have to do it ourselves, to kind of give us at least a framework of where we should be looking.
Right.
So I don't know.
I know there's,
it's exciting though. It's exciting to think about.
It is. Yeah. Cause it's like I know two moms.
Cause I'm still young.
Yes.
I'm still young.
Able, you know, I know one mom is helping with grandkids homeschooling.
Yeah.
You know, one day a week, it's like their fun day with grandma. And yeah. then I know another one who took a part-time job.
Okay.
At the spice store down in
I don't know who that is.
And then
spices are good.
You know, so I was like, well, that's a neat idea, yeah. you know, because she's been homeschooling for like 30 years. Right. So, like, yeah. you know, and then there's another one who's like, well, now I'm working wherever because uh-huh. I don't want to say where, but it's like I'm working wherever because I'm just going to help catch up on that 401k we never got to finish or, yeah. you know, some type of like savings, like now she doesn't have any right. responsibilities in the home in that way that's so demanding that she's like freed up. She's like, we can play financial catch up now.
There it is.
So I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So
get a part-time job and spend it on cruises or something. I don't know.
Yes, that would be my dad. So yeah.
My husband wants to sell the house, get an RV, and just spend like 2 or 3 months at each kid's house. I don't think they would like that.
He's like, but we'd be in the RV. That's right. Yeah. Not in their house, just hanging with them.
That's not going to happen.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. And I know a couple other families who like have travel on their plans. So it really is kind of sky's the limit. But the important thing would be not to feel useless in God's kingdom when that major work is done, because he still has.
Yeah. I definitely want to still do something for the kingdom. I mean, I get a lot of satisfaction. There's a lot of reward in doing what I'm doing with the high schoolers. I love it. And I would love to continue to do something, not that probably, but something in the kingdom that helps the kingdom. And, you know, I do love high schoolers, though, I'll tell you that. I love teenagers. I'm a weird like that. And I love thinking that they are preparing to change the world. So,
yes. They were interesting, like when I had like 6th and 7th graders as the oldest, I was like, I think I would, somebody always asked the question, oh, high school or preschool? And I'm like, oh, preschool. So now no way.
Yeah.
No way. High school all the way.
High school all the way. Yes. High school so fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and your experience. It's been a blessing to talk about these different dynamics because it is something we should talk about a little bit more often, because it's hard and it's grieving, but there is a lot of joy and additions to families that happen when we kind of reproduce the circle of life that Christ is kind of designed for us.
Right.
So thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. I hope that this has been a great blessing to you. I know that it has for me. And so until next time, see you later.